You know, it's not how many we are, it's how convict we are. Amen. And the more conviction we have, the more enthusiasm. And those of you that knows what the word enthusiasm means, anybody here knows what the enthusiasm means?
Yes.
God in. Sai. Theos in. You know, it's not for us to have life, we have to have God in us. And today we're going to be talking about the subject that is more important this time than you can ever imagine. And I know that today's message is going to make some of you move a little bit on your pew, okay? You may be a little bit uncomfortable, but as required by the law, we have to give the warning before we deliver the message. So I'm giving you a warning that it may make few people uncomfortable, but it is what it is, and we needed to talk about. But with your own eyes, you saw my body being formed. You know, I capitalized and I put a different color to help you to identify that this is talking about God. Your own eyes talk about God. You, God, saw my body being formed even before I was born. You had written in your book everything about me. Psalms 139, verse 16. This is a contemporary English version. Now, we're going to revisit this text again because it has a lot to do with what we'll be talking about today. The value of life. Many people today, they practice things that are it almost tells a message that they don't want to live. The things that they eat, the things that they consume, the way they think, it looks like they are anxious to die. They are not anxious to live. And it's very important for us to talk about the value of life, because you know what the Catholic Church celebrates today? Anybody knows? It's not important anyway. But it is because they celebrate this day, it has affected a lot of other common habits that we have as a nation. In the November 1st, the Roman Church declared that it was the soul day for some saints, some spirits. And then today they declare that's for all souls. So November 1 is for some specific ones, the holy ones. And then today is for all the saints' souls, souls' days. And the reason why in October 31st, the people go the streets celebrating the dead, or at least they think that it's the dead, but actually they celebrate the devil, is evil spirits, is because they say that it's the Holy Eve. October 31st has more to do with November the 1st. It's because November the 1st was declared holy. And so the Eve was called Holy Eve, Halloween. That's what it means. But actually, it's all about worshiping the dead. So we are in a business to worship the living God, nothing else. And we are to value life. Value. What is a value? Something worth. That's where the word value comes, right?
Yes.
Worth something. So can you grab nothing and put a value to it? Some people do. A lot of people have a lot of nothing, and they claim that there are their values. So let's see. Values, people's values tend to change over time as well from place to place. Some people have some kind of a set of values. If they are living in one location, but when they move to another location, they change their values. Sometimes they change their values according to the relationship they have. That's why the Bible clearly tells us, do not marry outside of the church, because you will affect your values. When you go under the same roof with the people that have different values, then there will be that struggle, and you may end up compromising your values and set a new set of values. So it's very dangerous. Each one of us possesses unique values in our lives. We do. There is no one ever a person who is, have exactly the same values as others, because values is something very individual. We have our own. It has to do with our personality as well. There are apparent values that tend to change according to the circumstance, and I call them apparent values. They look like values, but they are not values because they keep changing. Okay? And there are eternal values that do not change in any circumstance. You may change your perception, and by the way, we live in a time that everybody has an opinion about everything. Today is not much more about the rules, but how I understand the rules. And that's the society that we live in at this time. Remember, no one can make you feel inferior without your permission. You are the boss. If somebody makes you feel bad, it's because you are giving permission to do so. You have control about who you are. Nobody else does. Not even God can control you, what you are, if you choose to be something different than His will, because the consequence will be yours as well. No one can bring down you without your help. And do you know why people there are sometimes try to bring you down? They cannot bring you down if they are up. They bring you down because they are down. And they are too lazy to go up. And so they envy you and it says, I'm going to use all my strength, my effort to bring him or her down here. So if somebody is trying to bring you down, lift them up. And then the problem will be solved. When good values are utilized to shape each moment of your life, guess what is going to happen? Living becomes enjoyable and valuable. Life is a delight when you have principles that guide every decision that you make. Remember? So it is up to you to decide where you place yourself in life. Nobody can allocate you to a position where you do not belong. That is a decision that you make. And how you value this moment in your life is up to you. Now, here is something that we like to say. Values, life teach us to make good use of time, while time teach us how to value life. So take your time to value life, because if you do, you keep it forever. The major value in life is not what you get. The major value in life is what you become. This is Mr. James Roth. He is the one who wrote this. God's values. We don't know all the God's values because, you know, we know only in part. We know about God only what is revealed to us. And by the way, if you haven't been looking in this book, reading this book, and taking this book close to your heart, the more you have it, the more you will know God's values. But we can find plenty in the Holy Bible. The values taught by Jesus Christ can be summed up in 2 points. And some people even say, oh, there's no 10 commandments anymore. Now there is only 2. Love God above everything and love your neighbor. And then, that's exactly what the whole Bible is all about, the Ten Commandments is all about. And Jesus Christ, that's what Jesus Christ was saying. The whole thing is about put God first and put your fellow man, fellow woman together, love both. Love to God, the first part, and love to others. That is the whole thing about the character of God. It's about love. This is Abaddon's idea of value. But notice there is a D, devalue. He never values anything. He devalues everything. Everything about him is about his nature, which is destruction. So everything he touches is to destroy, is to devalue. And here is an example. of people that are follows God, the devil's footsteps. Everything they do is to break God's laws. And what a person who breaks God's law, the person have been establishing hate, the opposite of what love is. Abba's values. It says here, listen and live. You shall not murder. Some verse says, thou shalt not kill. Which commandment is that one? Do you know why it's number 6? Just to help you to remind you, we were created in what day of the week? What is the number that symbolizes humans?
6.
And if you see in the measurements and everything else, 6 is all over the place. And so this is the way that God put it. The 6th commandment says, thou shalt preserve life. Basically, the 6th commandment says, you shall value life. It's not about murdering. It's about preserving life. Thou shalt not murder is just an expression to say you must value life. That's what the commandment is all about. You must value life at all cost, because whatever you value, you keep. Whatever you don't value, you lose. It's a waste. Now, you remember this young lady, she was asked, what are you going to do with your life? How much is worth your life is worth? The devil told her, and the God's character, God's law was always in the background. That's why I put it there. I hope you can see. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. And the Bible says also the wages of sin is? Did you know that Eve knew that? Because when God talked to her, he said, disobedience will bring death. Do not disobey. If you want to value life, don't disobey. Obedience is an evidence that I value life. Disobedience is the opposite. And so when you want to give evidence that you find life precious, obey. Because the wages of sin is death. And so the serpent told her, take a bite, eat. And that's how death came, when she took a bite. Now, this is one point that some of you may feel uncomfortable, but I'm going to say, because this is the way I see it. And some of you, if you don't see the same way, that's fine. But I believe that Eve, when she was talking to the serpent, it wasn't the serpent, to Satan. Satan tried to convince her that life was not that worth more than just a bite in the fruit. He tried to convince that fruit was more precious than her life. And she fell for it. How many of us sometimes embrace a concept, even though that is a killing concept, and we stick to it because sometimes just stubborn. And she did. She committed murder. Who did she kill? Is suicide murder? Yeah, murder of self. But she did something else. What did she do? She took a bite. She got the poison. And she gave the poison to a little fellow that was close to her. Not a little, very tall guy. Close to her. And he made a choice. By the way, he was not innocent or anything else. He has a perfect mind. He knew exactly what he was doing. He chose between God and her. He chose to stay with her. So he replaced also. So their sin was equal. It doesn't matter who sins first or sins last. Sin is sin. And the wages of sin is?
Death.
And where is Adam and Eve?
Wrong.
Dead. And everybody else afterwards started to experience the same thing, except 2 individuals that went to heaven without experiencing death. Enoch in Elijah. You belong to your father, the devil. Jesus Christ is speaking to people that came to him and claimed that our father is Abraham. He says, and you want to do what he wants. Who? The devil. Who is the devil? The one who does evil. And what is the outcome of evil? Death. He says, he was a murderer from the beginning. What is the beginning here? What is Jesus Christ talking about beginning? Which beginning? The creation of this world? No, even before. There in heaven, everything was perfect. There was no death. There was no evil. And one day, pride came to his heart. What is pride? Idolatry. Okay. What is vanity? Worship of self. Idolatry. And what happened? He decided to worship himself. And when he started to worship himself, that is exactly what the second commandment is talking about. Do not make an image of anything that is created. And he made an image of himself. And immediately he became the opposite of what God is. And was against the truth. And the truth here is God. It says, because there is no truth in him, because he pushed truth out of him, out of his life. And many people, when they become evil, is because they refuse to face the truth or accept the truth. They push the truth out. When he tells a lie, he shows what he is really like. That becomes his nature. God's nature is truth. The opposite of God is lie, evil, because he is a liar and a father of all lies. Now, guess what? When we become accepting those lies, we just join the devil, and that's the sad part. Here there is a topic that I'd like to address today as well. Continue. It says, but here comes the text that we read. But when your own eyes, with your own eyes, saw my body being formed, even before I was born, you had written in your book everything about me. Brothers and sisters, anybody here knows what abortion is? In just a few days, there are a group of very, 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 very outspoken people with a lot of gusto speaking and making an issue of women have to have the right to kill their babies. Because you must vote this way, because if you don't vote this way, you're going to take away from the women the right to kill their babies. That is how insane our world has become. When people are making the issue of election, the right to kill. What about the right to live? What about the right, the responsibility to defend the unborn? And many say, people may say, oh, pastor, you say it like this because you are male. If you are female, you probably would have more sympathy to the issue. Every single one here have to be grateful that your mother did not have that in her agenda. That's why you are here. Somebody had the courage and the honorable strength to give you a right to live, a value you even before you were born, carried you, fed you, raised you, and today you are here with the opportunity to have eternal life because one human being decided that you were important, a value your life. How can we deny this to another human being? How can we go and speak? And what is said that a people that claim to be Christians are working against God's agenda for life. I can understand there are so many thousands and thousands of people desperate to adopt a child. And why all the killing? More than a million. And I put the word abortions because I don't like the term abortion. Do you know why they put the, do you know why they label this abortion? Because sometimes when you simplify something, it becomes less shocking. So instead of saying the right to kill, they say the right to abort. And it doesn't sound as terrible. Imagine if they said, the woman has the right to murder. No, they can't say that. That's too strong. So they paint, they color a little bit. And people take a bite. Remember what Lucifer did to Eve? He said, look how attractive this is. It distracts the fact that if you eat, you kill. You kill yourself, you kill everybody else. But no, the distraction. The term abortion is this distraction. More than a million murders were provided. It happened in 2023. You know what is a million? The number actually is sometimes goes to 1.4 million every year, United States. Here is the part that this is going to get me in trouble. I don't want to be political. And I'm not, the intent that our talk is not to be political. But sometimes if you do not speak, we are become responsible, accountable for what we don't say. Some people say we need labor. That's why we need to open our borders and bring other people. Do you know what would happen, how much labor we would have in this nation if this million people were allowed to live every year? We would not have a need for foreigner labor. That is just an excuse. That is just in a way. How can we keep killing our own people and then say we need more people? Yes, we need more from the other countries because we are killing our own. That's the major finding from the report that you can, it was published Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. This is recent, and this is the company that has published this. A research organization that supports access to this type of killing. Not only they do the research, but they actually support. But here's one thing that I found out when I was looking for this information. 4 states in our nation, they do not report the killing to anybody. To the CDC, they don't report. They hide the figures because it's so alarming. Because if you add all these states to this, it will be even bigger. That's why I say it's around 1.4. And guess one of the states that doesn't report? California. And you know, say that's out of sight, out of mind, right? They don't want to report those numbers because it's alarming. What is going on? The value of life. Do you value your life?
Yes.
Why doesn't somebody else have the right to live? Why can a person that is alive say, oh, my life is good, but I don't want to give this privilege to anybody else? Say it with me. Read it with me, what it says there. Every life has equal value. If you call just a fetus, then your conscience won't bother you, so you kill it. I don't know how many of you here, if any of you here, ever seen a case of an abortion taking place. Depending on the stage of the child, how they take the child into pieces. It is barbaric. It's evil. It is gross. It is disgusting. And you know why they want to have this right? Because they want to practice fornication without consequence. Yes, that's what I said, fornication, that's what it is. They want to be immoral without paying the consequence for it. And young children are being sacrificed. Now, anybody here knows what Molech, have you ever heard the name Molech before? Anybody have any idea what Molech is? A god from Moab. And then, do you know what the most important things in their entire worship? Bring their little child and put in these brazen arms with, fire and barbecue the child alive. Do you think that is gross? Oh, you need to see a trash can on an abortion clinic. Then you see what is gross. Every life has equal value. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter where you come from. A life is a life, and a life is a gift from God. Life represents God in us. You try to destroy their life, you are opposing God directly, God. Can it be more clear than that? It is the same job that Satan has done. He is the destroyer, and he is pro-abortion. Because killing, it is his nature. Remember Jesus Christ? He is a murderer from the beginning, and he does what is common to. That's what he does. Look at this, brothers and sisters. Why a human being? Do you know the extreme that they are going now? They said even a full-born baby, even after the baby is already born, the mother still have the right to say to the doctor, butch it. Get rid of it. That's why I'm speaking today. Every life has equal value. Every life has equal value. Biblical values for those who values life. Briefly, I'm going to go a little faster on this. The Bible contains many values to guide lives of every believer, including this. Love, of course. Why love is so important? If there is no love, life doesn't come. Life cannot be preserved if love is not present. Some people are raised in a home where there is not much love. And the quality of life becomes very difficult. But it's still the person still have the choice. And that person can turn around and make something wonderful about his or her life. At least that person has a chance. Love is what God is. It is a fundamental value that describes God. You can see that in John 4, verse 8. We used to sing with our children when they were little. Aquele que não ama, não conhece Deus, porque Deus é amor. That's in Portuguese. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4, verse 8. We used to sing this with them, and now it's wonderful to see them singing with their little ones. And so, Alf also describes God's as love and also his children, because we were made at his own image. Generosity, giving. We live in a society that it talks, emphasizes taking. But a godly society is about giving, about being generous. A core value that involves being kind, being unselfish, especially with the time and money. And you can see Proverbs 22, verse 9. I'm not going to put a text there, but you can see that later on. Okay, Proverbs 22, verse 9. It talks about being generous. Respect. In our society, people are told that, hey, give me some respect. You have to earn respect. No one has to earn respect. Everybody is born with the right to be respected. I didn't hear one single amen to that.
Amen.
Let me repeat. You do not demand respect. You do not have to work for respect. You are entitled to be respected. That is by nature, is a gift that you have received by nature. As a human being, you must be respected. But sometimes people don't give you what they don't have. So if somebody disrespects you, it's not you that they're disrespecting. They are not giving you what they chose not to have. So please understand, don't be so upset when somebody disrespects you because they are disrespecting themselves. Because what you have, nobody can take unless you choose to give up. Only you can remove the respect from your life. Nobody else can. A value that comes from recognize that God created all people in His image. Did you like the all? Why? Because I am there. All. Hope. A value that involves a confident expectation and a firm assurance in God. You can see also Proverbs 23, verse 18, to talk about hope. Hope, if you take hope from an individual, you take the meaning of life. Because no human being can actually live without hope. We need to have hope. And the more hope you have, the more bright the future looks. So it's important for us to have confidence and hope. Peace. A value that refers to rest. That's what the Sabbath is all about. That's what communion, relationship, peace. I don't know, some of you have heard this. When we drive the most relaxed is when we're getting close to home. It's something there in our brain switch immediately. Do you know why? Because we start resting. Because we are familiar. Rest, peace, a value that refers to rest and tranquility. And is a gift from God. Romans 14, 19. What about joy? Is there joy here? Did she come to church today? Where is joy? Where is joy? Is joy here? Where is joy? Where is it? Come on, where is joy? Oh, she did come to church today. A value that comes from having assurance in God. When we know who God is, we are confident that He is our God, our Lord in our lives. Then we have joy. Faithfulness, loyalty, a value that involves trusting and loving God. It's also in any relationship. When you are faithful to God, it's much easier for you to be faithful to a person in your life as well. Humility. What is humility? The absence of selfishness. Okay? It's when you don't worship self, when you think about others, about yourself. A value that above yourself. A value that involves being humble in spirit. Patience. Yes, patience. A value that involves waiting and persevering without becoming frustrated. Self-control. And number 10, I just chose only 10 for now, but there are so many others. Responsibility. Last week, I talked about people, when you get involved in any project, pursue excellence. And that is the way you're going to reflect the care of God in your life. When you are responsible, when everything you do, people would like to have you around. It's wonderful to have people that are accountable, people that are, say, I'll be there. And I was meeting a lady this morning, and then I said, oh, I tried to get hold of you. And I don't know if this lady would like me to mention her name, but probably not, because she's very shy. So I said, oh, I tried to get hold of you. I said that I was going to be here, and I'm here. That is character. That's beauty. That is what we're talking about, a person being responsible. A person says, I'll be there, and I am there. Isn't it wonderful what you can rely on a person that has this kind of personality? This is what it says, a value that involves looking after one's actions and fulfilling their obligations. See also the gift of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22, all the way to 26. There is a list of the gifts of the Spirit. And brothers and sisters, the Lord has told us, this is what has told us, what is good. The Bible, when it talks about what is good, it talks about what is perfect. Remember when somebody called Jesus, the young man says, Jesus, you are a good master. He says, good is only God. What he means, perfect. And so says, the Lord has told us what is perfect, what is good. What he requires of us is this: to do what is just, to show constant love, and to live a humble fellowship with our God. That's Micah 6, verse 8. Good News Translation is the version that has this. Now, Paul says this. Yes, everything else is worthless. What is the worthless? Without value. Okay? If you value life, life is worth. If you do not value life, it's worthless. So worthless is the opposite of value. So yes, everything else is worthless when comparing with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus. Do you know him? Yes. Do you know him? Yes. Is he at your home? Yes. Is he a cosign in your bank account? Is he in charge of your decisions?
Yes.
Is he Lord of your life?
Yes.
Then your life is worth something.
Amen.
For his sake, I have discarded everything else. God is everything that I need. Everything else is worthless. Counting it all. Oh, we have heard this word garbage a lot lately, haven't we? Yeah, don't. Please, no political, but we have heard garbage a lot. There are a lot of garbage. So that I could gain Christ. Yeah, he said, I look another version. I said, let's see if I can avoid the word garbage here, because I don't want to trigger any thoughts. But it's there. I look for different versions, but all of them had the word. So it says here, for his sake, I have discarded everything else, because God is really what I value. Do not be shaped by this world. Don't let the world indoctrinate you. Instead, be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you. It says you will know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect. That is Romans 12, verse 2, New Century Version. Brothers and sisters, therefore, come out from among them. Don't talk like them. Don't behave like them. And by the way, the devil does this. He repeats something over and over and over again. The first time you hear, it hurts your ears. The second time is not as much. And then the third time, the fourth time, and then you start talking. Then you add that garbage to your vocabulary. Then you start talking like them and start behaving like them. Come out from this And separate means be holy, says the Lord. Be with me. Separate from that and come and be with me so that you can be holy. Do not touch what is unclean. Brother and sister, touch is not only with your hands. Don't touch with your eyes. Don't touch with your ears. Don't let this come in. Garbage in. Finish the sentence for me, please. Garbage in. But there is something the sense doesn't tell you. You become what you fill yourself with. You put all that inside of you, you become. That consumes you. Do not touch what is unclean. And I will receive you. God is saying, if you remain holy, then I can approach you because I only can approach what is holy if you are. 2 Corinthians 6:17, New King James Version. Now, in conclusion, brothers and sisters, do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves. I'm going to pause a little bit here to say something. For every child that have been murdered, 1 month, a day, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, every child that has been murdered will resurrect it to live eternal life. Amen. Because even though that lady or that man, those responsible, two human beings or three or four, whatever was involved in the whole process of murdering that child, even though they decided not to give that child a chance to live, life is worth a lot for God. Remember what the Bible says, if there was only one child that here needs God, he would have come and died on the cross for that particular person, and that's you. So all those children that have been murdered, they will live an eternal life. Amen. Every single one of them, and I can prove to you biblically, that's not my opinion. This is not Pastor Elson's opinion. That's the Bible teach clearly. I show you the verse in Psalms 139. And I can show you all the verses the Bible says clearly that God knows our days even before we are even formed. We are a human being even before we are conceived. We are not a fetus. We are not a thing. We are not an inconvenience. We are the image of God that has been conceived, and God is the only one who has given life. And for those that are in the grave, they all come out. They will hear their voice. Some of you mothers here have a miscarriage. It was not your will to kill that child. That child just died. You will see that child again. I will see my kids. All five of them is my hope. You say, but Pastor, you have only three. Yes, no. She conceived five. Two are no, you know, didn't have a privilege to live. But we will, by God's grace, see them in the kingdom. Amen. Because Jesus Christ said clearly, all they will come out and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, the resurrection of death, eternal death. The end will come. The beginning is coming as well. I'm looking for the beginning. Some people are desperate and afraid of the end. The coming of the Lord for me is not the end of anything. It's the beginning of all things. Amen. I want to see the billions of people that will be in the kingdom. And you know what? I mentioned this before. I was preaching in a church in Claremont, and after I finished, one young lady was crying, but really crying like I was saying, "What did I say? Or what happened?" She was crying, and then after we finished the sermon, she asked to speak to me. So I went to talk to her, and she said this: "Pastor, is it possible that God will forgive me because I killed my baby?" She was talking about the murder, you know, they call abortion. And I said, "Sister, every sin can be forgiven if it's properly confessed. Confession is an opportunity that we ask God, give me another chance to see your grace, to embrace your grace. Confession is not an excuse. Confession is asking God, give me an opportunity to make things right. If you, any of you here, have participated in a killing of an innocent child, ask God for forgiveness. Ask God for forgiveness, and God's grace is great enough to forgive you. But not to give you an excuse so that you can go and do it again. Because every time that God uses his grace is to give us opportunity to stop doing what is wrong."
Amen.
Okay? Please, please, confess your sins. By the way, when you go, and here is the part that some of you won't feel uncomfortable, but when you go to vote, don't put your name approving the killing of innocent lives. Stop in being loyal to men instead of being loyal to God. It is beautiful. Loyalty is a beautiful thing. But when it's misplaced, oh boy, should I say this? It's very dumb. Open your minds. Don't approve. Don't take sides with those that are killed and are willing to continue the killing. That's all that I'm going to say. I'm not going to say any more, because each one of you will be wise enough to make your own decisions. But may God bless this nation and help us to be what God wants to be as a nation. We are here to teach goodness to the rest of the world. We cannot. What happens to the world if we collapse? If we, that are this blessed nation, collapse, what is going to happen? There are so many powers out there anxious to take over. And they are coming. And they are coming. We see them in the air. We see them on our borders. We see them in our stores. We see them, meeting China. We see them everywhere. They are coming. They are taking over. They are taking over our lives. They are taking over everything. Wake up. Make the right decision. May God guide you. And may you always know when you look in the mirror, I'm very blessed because my mother gave me the privilege, my father gave me the privilege to be alive.
Amen.
Value life. Don't be selfish. Don't only value yours. Value every life.
Amen.
Every life. Remember what it says? Every life is important. God bless. Now let's stand and sing together when we all get to heaven. By the way, only the living is going to get to heaven. So let's all stand up and sing when we all get to heaven.